Philippians chapter 3. Yes, sir. Philippians chapter 3. And we'll begin at verse 7. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. If you haven't read your Bible through, there's another way you can do it. You say, I'm just so busy. Well, you do know they have the Bible on CD. They have the Bible on cassette, if you still use those. And, you know, if you even have just 15 minutes to drive to go to work, you could go through 1 and 2 Timothy in about 15 minutes. And how precious are those wonderful verses from Paul's last letter and so on. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. Here the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, pins the Word of God to us. And we'll begin reading this letter at Philippians 3 and verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yes, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Father, we look at Paul and says, you know, it's all my righteousness is by God's gift of faith in his son Jesus. But I want to live in such a way as though it depended on me. I want to live in such a way that I might attain that for which you've already apprehended me. And so though I am saved through Christ's righteousness, I'm saved through his death and resurrection, I'm saved by him alone, I want to live in a way that's worthy of it. So Lord, would we. But we know that this side of heaven, it's impossible to be perfect. It's impossible to keep every thought being held by Christ, being held captive to him, that every deed and every motive and every affection and feeling that, Father, we see we're sinners most of the day. And so, Lord, we do pray, though, that you would help us, that by your grace you would, like in Psalm 63, give us that desire you gave David, that we would long to know you more, to know you better, to love you more affectionately, to walk with you more faithfully, to have you the passion and pursuit of our soul. Lord, we pray you bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. At the end of the year, you know, a lot of people, like myself, we take stock of our life. Of course, I'm always doing that. And every day I kind of think about the loved ones and friends who've gone before me to heaven. And, of course, the devil's going to remind me of all my failures and how I wish I could go back and undo those things. We think about changes at the end of the year that we should make for the new year. We should ask ourselves two great questions. How can I enjoy more of God and his blessings? How can I enjoy more of God and his blessings? You know, we have them surrounding us all the time. A lot of times we're blind to these blessings. We take them as usual, as for granted, until the day comes when we learn that lesson. You don't know what you've got till it's gone. The second question is, how can I be closer to Jesus? How can I be closer to Jesus? There was a book written a long time ago called Life's Little Instruction Book. And one of the things the author says, or one of the contributors said to this, was, be bold and courageous. When you look back on your life, you'll regret the things you didn't do more than the things you did. So you may have sins that you have regret over, failings or mistakes that you've made, embarrassing things that you've gone through that you wish you could undo. But towards the end of your life, you'll be more regretful of not being bold and courageous to do those things that you left undone. Things that you wanted to do, things that you dreamed about, things that you desired. I know people that have felt so bad because they lived their lives when all they wanted to do with their lives was start a restaurant, be the chef, and crank out the good food for people and make their lives more pleasant and to hear that you've done a good job with your food and so on. But they never do it. They never step out. Other people want, like me, they want to learn Spanish. But we only pick up a little bit here and there and here and there. When if we had been devoted just 15 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day listening to Spanish from the Rosetta Stone. And there's so much free stuff on the internet and online. You can take your phone and be listening to your phone and be learning Spanish. And if 15 minutes a day, in less than a year, in just a few months, you'll be able to talk and speak with a Spanish-speaking people. And they'll understand, if not all, most of everything you're saying. English is such a hard language. You ever thought about that? The word brush. We use it for, like, the weeds outside. Or brush fire. We talk about brushing our teeth or brushing our hair. We're talking about the actual tool itself. And the same thing goes with so many of our words. And so to be good at something, you've got to give yourself some devotion. And just 15 minutes a day on most any language, I think to actually learn how to speak Chinese or Japanese may be harder. Because we have Latin-based languages around us. If you're going to learn French, you'll also be learning some Spanish. If you want to learn Italian, you'll be also learning things about Spanish and so on. So these are languages you're more easily able to pick up on. I didn't mean to chase that rabbit so long or so hard. But remember, when you look back on your life, you'll regret the things you didn't do more than the ones you did. Sometimes the things we don't do are harder to get over than the sins we've committed. Because we've given our sins to Jesus. We've been forgiven. But those dreams, those things we wanted to do, our lost opportunities, unused talents that we had, wasted time are so hard to forgive ourselves for when we come to the edge of our lives. The potential exists in the things we are not doing now. In our lives, for dreams to come true, we must take hold of them. We must start spending time with it. Almost anything you need to know now is on the online, on the internet. You can use your phone, your laptop. You want to know how to start a business? You want to know how to start a restaurant? Do you want to know anything that you need to do it? It's online and it's for free. You don't have to go to college. You don't have to do these other things. It's all there for you to pick up. It's amazing. You can learn how to become a stockbroker. You can learn how to become almost anything or to what kind of business you want to open. It's all free. It's all online. And you can take those opportunities. You can have some of the best teachers in the world who come online and will teach you things for like, what is it, $10 or $15 a month? How much money would you not have to pay back to some government loan if you just did that? But you've got to have a passion. You've got to have a pursuit. Is this something you want? And it's the same thing about being closer to Jesus. We sing, Be Thou My Vision, and we sing some of these songs, or read Psalm 63, and we say, yes, that's what I want. And then we sit in front of the TV and watch whatever silly stuff is on, instead of taking more time with our Bibles and more time in prayer. It's hard to come to peace with what you could have been, what might have been, or what should have been. And so the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, the wise man closes that book in the 12th chapter, the last chapter, he says, He says, remember now, and remember your Creator in the days of your youth. While you can still move, while you can still walk, while you can still see, while you can still have strength, remember Him now, for the days are coming that you'll regret not having done it. So, it's hard to come to peace with what could have been. It's hard to look back and see only the glimpses of a life that never really materialized with who you wanted to be, what you wanted to do, what you wanted to know. When we look back on our life, we may very, very well regret the things we didn't do, much, much more than regret the things we did. So at this time of year, many people resolve to do great things, wonderful things, good things. They want to spend more time with their family. They want to exercise more. They want to read more. They want to eat healthier. They want to continue their education or do more for their community or find a cause that they can defend and feel part of that community. They want to take up a new hobby, enjoy the outdoors more, travel to new places, tell someone they love them. Try learning a second language, like I mentioned earlier. There are many good things we could do with the time we have left in life. But if we narrow it all down, if we're only able to do one thing and concentrate on it for the rest of our lives, what would that one thing be? Does the Bible tell us what that one thing should be? What if you do this one thing, and then God shows you to His will, leads people into your life that will help you, be a mentor to you, someone that's doing something you want to do already, and you could get close to them, become their friend, and take leaps and bounds ahead of actually being what they are. Some of the best radio speakers or television people, I'm talking about that, not the media, not the Hollywood types, but people that run the things behind the scenes. How did they get there? You've heard of Sonny and Cher, right? You know how it started. Sonny Bono went down to Phil Spector's studio and said, let me just hang around here. I want to work here. I'll sweep the floors. I'll get the coffee. I'll do whatever you want. That's where it all began. You know, maybe God will do that for you if you do this one thing. This one thing has to do with a prayer promise in James as well. But it is, you have not because you ask not. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So there's the asking part. Then there's the seeking part. That becomes a little bit more involved. And then there's the knocking part. And when it says ask, it doesn't mean ask one time. In the Greek, it's in the linear tense. It means ask and ask and ask and ask. Seek and seek and seek and seek. Knock and knock and knock and knock. And it shall be given, and the door shall be opened, and you shall find. That's in the linear tense too. So, what is this one thing? I think you've guessed by now. It's prayer. It's seeking God's face. It's not just going over a liturgy. It's not just going over a form. It's just not reading a prayer. It's just not going over the model prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. No, it's giving your heart to it. You're asking and you're seeking and you're knocking. It's about a pursuit. And in your pursuit, it's not just to be for money or a better job or for popularity or any of these other things. It's about getting close to God, finding out His will, what pleases Him, right? He made you. He knows how best to make you happy. You're not like anybody else. This person wants to play guitar really good over here. This person wants to sing really well. This person wants to help children and teach. And who can help them? Who can lead them? Who can guide them and equip them and empower them so they're not just spinning their wheels? They're not just running in circles. Well, that's in God's hands. If we would concentrate on this, that one thing that would bring us the blessings of heaven, the peace in later days for knowing that we chose the right thing, not having regrets. What if I told you that if we do this one thing, it is to seek the face of God? The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you." In other words, while you're seeking out what pleases God, he's not going to be outgiven. He's going to lead you. He'll guide you. Maybe the right person, maybe the right opportunity. Sometimes we've let opportunities go right past us because we weren't even looking. We should seek the face of Jesus. Martha and Mary had Jesus and his disciples at their home. Martha's doing this, Martha's doing that. She's getting the table set. She's cooking the grits and the collard greens and everything back there in the kitchen, getting that all ready. Or as we like mashed potatoes and gravy. You know, sometimes we sit down at the turkey table and not realize how hard it was for mom or your sister or your aunt to cook all that stuff. You know, the potatoes are business enough in themselves. But Martha's busy with all these things. And then she says, "Jesus, don't you care about me? Tell my sister Martha to get up from where she is talking to you and you talking to her. Tell her to get up and come help me." What did Jesus say? "One thing is needful." And Mary has chosen that good part. In other words, it's more needful that we spend time with Jesus than all these other things that we think might be serving Jesus. One thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part. David said this, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire," or ask him questions, turn my curiosity into a holy curiosity about him, about his ways. Paul said in our passage, "This one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forward, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And then in verse 10, I love that verse where it says here in Philippians 3:10, he said that I may know him. That I may know him. What is he pressing forward to? What is he trying to reach? What is his aim? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. It's about a relationship. It's not about an attainment. It's about, unless you're talking about that attainment being a closer walk with God. So, we'll talk about first thing here. How do we seek the face of Christ? How do we pursue him? How do we come to where David says that I may behold the beauty of the Lord? To continue earnestly in prayer, the Bible says, Colossians 4:2. You know, in the Soviet Union, and we've seen it fall in our lifetimes, 1991, 92, because of President Reagan, the Soviet Union went bankrupt. They had to fold. The Iron Curtain fell. And what was once forbidden, the Bible and Bible preaching and teaching about Jesus, began to run like wildfire through the countryside. People left their bread lines they had been standing in for 4 hours just to get a Bible. And this great thing is that if we continue earnestly in prayer like Colossians 4:2, it means that God is able to break down the walls that are around us. You know, I had a roommate who would say, he said, "You know only God can move mountains." I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, only prayer can move God." I like that. I like that saying. "Ask and you will receive. Seek and you shall find. If you shall ask anything in my name, believing, it shall be given unto you." So many precious prayer promises in the Bible. It's though God is pushing us and enticing us and doing all that he can in his precious word to get us to pray, to get us to walk with him, to get us to, you know, while in the Soviet Union, the people couldn't have the Bible. And some of them were in the prisons, Siberian labor camps, because they had the Bible. And they were caught meeting out 2 o'clock in the morning with their little Baptist church in the mud and the snow. And they took them and separated their families and threw them into Siberian labor camps. They persecuted Christians by the thousands every year. And though they could take their Bibles, except for what they memorized, though they could take their Bibles, they could never take prayer. And these people began in the labor camp, so they were working so hard and dying of the freezing and hunger to death, starving to death. They did so with a closer walk with God. They did so with His very presence with them. They prayed for Americans that we would go through some of that stuff so we could know the joy of having Christ so near and having God so near. And the thing is that families, they would agree, well, before they were separated, if we're separated at 9 p.m. every evening, we're going to meet together at the throne of grace. And you know the stories they tell about, oh, I could just feel my loved one present. I could feel my mom near me at the throne of grace. And I knew that she was alive because I could tell she was praying for me. It's a supernatural thing, a miraculous thing. If you haven't had that, it's real. I mean, where you agree with somebody, you're going to pray with them at a certain time. And then you just know, it's like an invisible hand coming in to comfort you, saying, yeah, I'm praying for you. It's something you can know. The word continue earnestly means to adhere to persist in, to busy yourself with. Paul calls it pressing toward the goal here in Philippians. And the question is, are we devoted to prayer? We can do it anytime. We can do it anywhere. They can't take it away from us. We may have to wait for break time to read our Bibles at work or to listen to it in our car on the CD or whatever device we have, or our phones. Bible Gateway is excellent. You can hear the Bible read in almost any version, even in other languages. And it doesn't cost anything to have it on your phone. It's a free application. And so, but you can pray always. You don't have to wait to pray. You can pray with your eyes open. You can pray before you eat, while you eat. With every step you take, you can pray. In fact, one of the Civil War generals, Stonewall Jackson, he thought he had to close his eyes when he prayed. And so some people would talk about how, oh, it's Stonewall Jackson. It's the general out there praying. How do you know? Well, his head was down and he bumped right into a tree. You know, so you can do it with your eyes open while others are talking to you. Say, could you please pray for this? Right then you could start praying and they wouldn't even know you are. And that way, and you said, yeah, I'll pray for him. You can be perfectly honest instead of forgetting about him and just start praying then. Do we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? All these other things will fall in line if we do. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. It's talking about prayer. And He shall direct your path. When others refer to you and they talk about you, are they likely to say he or likely to say she? Is a person of prayer. He walks with God. She walks with God. She spends time with Jesus. Or he walks with the Lord. I'm certain that some of you, like me, would have to say, oh, I haven't really been as devoted as I should. I haven't been praying like I should. I haven't busied myself in talking to God the way I should. I haven't continually stuck close to Him and persisted with Him about my life and about getting to know Him and about how I need His wisdom, how I need His grace, how I need His comfort, how I need His strength. I need the right words to tell to somebody. I have to reconcile this conflict. My kid's misbehaving. I need His help. I haven't really laid hold of God, the true and living God, the Almighty God, the God of all comfort and prayer the way I should. My prayers have been cold in love for Him and cold in prayer. At least it's not as warm as they should be. I've not desired the blessings of heaven on my life. I've gone without the breath of Christ on my life. Then I used to have His presence and I used to walk with God and I knew, I was assured, I just knew that everything, no matter what I faced, was going to be all right because I was walking with God and He would comfort my heart. I have not desired these things the way I should. So continue earnestly in prayer. You know, I know pastors who study and study and study. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. And I know a little Greek. I know a little Greek that runs a restaurant, a little Hebrew that runs a dry cleaning store. So I know a little Greek and I know a little Hebrew. And I know a lot more Greek than I do Hebrew. But he would study the syntax of every word. And the Greek is a wonderful language. I mean, we have three tenses, past, present, future. But in the Greek, there's all kinds of tenses. You could say, well, back then, and then just in the word, it could mean back then when I was a baby, back then when I did this and don't do it anymore. I mean, it's just amazing language. But he would spend all the time doing that instead of praying. Or these preachers that I've known. And I would study, and I was always looking for, Lord, what pleases you? What should I say? Help me to say only those things that please you and not to say anything that would bring disgrace on your word or on your teaching. I prayed that over and over. Sometimes I put my foot in my mouth. You know, it's like instructions when I was born. Open mouth, insert foot. You know. So the thing is that nevertheless, prayer was the key to why more people came to listen to me when I pastored up in Oregon. And my friend, though he was so smart, they would say, no, he sure knows a lot about the Bible, especially the Greek. And then they would come to me and say, I know you're a man of prayer. Would you pray for me about this? I would rather be known as being close to God in prayer than about knowing anything. Even all the Word of God, I'd rather be known as a man who walks with Jesus than the man who knows the Greek language of Jesus' Word. And so, why be devoted to prayer? I have to hurry on now. If you'll listen quick, I'll preach quick. How's that? Why pray? Why is prayer so important? Because it's our main duty as Christians. Over and over again, the Bible majors on this. Of course, it gives a lot about get to know the Lord, get to know His Word, read the Word, memorize the Word, meditate on the Word. But even more, it is our main duty as Christians to pray. Listen to Romans 12:12. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Philippians 4:6. We read the chapter 3, but it can move on to chapter 4. It says, be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything. Don't stress about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but your flesh is weak. Mark 13:33, take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Psalm 55:17, evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. You ever heard that? It's a scripture song. Psalm 55:17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry out loud, and he shall hear my voice, evening and morning and at noon. See, you learn that song, you've memorized the verse. Maybe a great verse for you to claim as your verse this year. Pour out your heart before him at all times, the Bible says. Be devoted to prayer because Jesus has commanded you to walk with him in prayer. In fact, the Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And God loves to hear and answer prayer. And then, why is it important? Why is this so vital? Because God promises to hear your prayer. He promises over and over again, if you walk with me, I'll do this. I'll hear you. I'll help you. He never tires of hearing us. He wants us to bring us our burdens, our needs, our wants, and every little thing. David and others in the Bible say, like Job, I complained to the Lord. I poured out my complaint. I argued with God. Say, well, that can't be good. No, God would much rather you do that than to pay him no mind. When you have little ones, don't you want them to tell you what's going on? Don't you want to hear everything? Don't you want to know if if there's something you could do to be a blessing to them in their case? God is that way. So Jeremiah the prophets, they would say, I poured out my argument to God. Well, you know, sometimes we feel like we have to fuss with him. And if we don't fuss with him and get it taken care of, then we get bitter or we get cold. Or we start to think, and it's easy for the devil to use that temptation. You're seeing God doesn't see me. God doesn't care. He's left me alone. He says he loves me, but now I'm going through all this. How can he love me? And so it's much rather to take your concerns to him. He knows them already. And to deal with them. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Isaiah 1:18. And so he says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Call upon me in the day of your trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. In other words, God hears you when you pray. He hears you when you fuss. He hears you when you mourn. He hears you when you're burdened. He hears you when you're stressed. And he will either change your circumstances or he will give you grace to endure your circumstances. Because a lot of times those circumstances are there to make you more like Jesus. I've told you before, I'm in college. I'm in love with God. I'm reading my Bible every day, sometimes 1, 2, 3 hours a day. And I start asking God, I say, Father, please make me more like your son, Jesus. Please make me more like my Lord. I want to be like you, Jesus. And God heard my prayer. I quit praying that way. You know why? Because Jesus was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He was slandered. He was persecuted. He was hated. He was misunderstood. And that's what came to me. Persecution, slander, troubles and trials. And I said, you know, Father, I think you're gonna make me more like Jesus any way you want to. I don't have to pray for this stuff anymore. So I want to be like Jesus, but do I want to go through all the things that are going to make me more like him? The diamond, if it could talk, would say, ow, that hurts. Ow, that burns. Oh, you're chipping away at me. Oh, you're going to the inside and chipping away. Oh, that hurts, if it could talk. You know, the pearl, a lot of people are in the pearl business now because we found out how we could take the oysters and artificially make pearls. But the pearl is born because there's a little piece of sand. When the oyster's open, it's all tender, and a little piece of sand gets in. And the oyster inside is saying, ow! And so it secretes this substance to cover up the rough edges of that piece of sand. And it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. It just keeps secreting this substance because of pain, because of affliction, because of its sorrow, until it's a pearl. You know, what are the 12 gates in heaven made out of, by the way? Pearl. To remind us that through Christ's sufferings, we get this beautiful place. What are the streets made out of? Gold so pure they're translucent. And so, for gold to be purified, what does it have to go through? It has to go through the fire. It has to be refined. Well, wouldn't it be better if just because you're walking with Jesus, you're made more like Jesus than having to be hurt all the time, slandered, persecuted? And so walk with him. He'll hear you. He'll answer your prayers. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, especially on his children. He will change your circumstances or he will give you grace. Because we need to hear from God. Why is prayer important? Because we need to hear from God. He said, you're talking about prayer. You're talking about talking to God. And some of the times that I've heard from the Lord the most are when I was talking to Him. I was faced a situation many years ago. People had conspired to have me thrown out as the pastor. Not because I had done anything wrong. It was because I wasn't doing everything they told me to do. There's a lot of things they were telling me to do God never told me to do. His word didn't tell me to do. And so, I'm on my knees. Three or four preachers talked to me and said, go ahead and ask their forgiveness. Go ahead and start doing what they want you to do. But I went to my knees and talked to the Lord, and He told me what to do. I said, Lord Jesus, what would you do? He said, I wouldn't lie. I would never lie to make other people happy. And I would never say I'm sorry for doing the right thing. And so, the church split. Because in prayer, the Lord told me what He would do, and I knew that was the right thing to do. But He wouldn't do what He would do, so I didn't apologize for doing the right thing. I didn't apologize for preaching God's word, no matter who it offended. And I took a stand. The church split. Half the people left one Sunday after they took the vote. One or two more people than the bad guys had voted for me to stay. So the rest left. Our offerings the next Sunday went up over $200 than they were when we had twice as many people. 2 weeks later, a man that had visited our church from Florida and was blessed by the message that he heard sent us a check for $7,000. You know what God is saying? Say, do things my way. Follow me. Seek my face in prayer. I'll lead you and I'll bless you. We just knew God was going to take care of it. So fear not the face of man. Don't worry that if you step out for Jesus, you're going to fall or you'll fail or you stumble. Don't be afraid to own the Lord in your life. You know, sometimes if you're wise, you'll confess Jesus in places where you'll find out you have more company than you thought you had. Where I work among these companies, I fellowship with a lot of truck drivers every day. We don't just stand talking, just little things we say. One of the things I like to say to our Spanish-speaking truck drivers is, vaya con Dios. And then they open up, and you realize they also believe in Christ. They also go to a Baptist church or a Christian church. You find out that you get to say hermano a lot every day. And some of these people pray for me. That's one of the sweetest things to know, is that these guys pray for me. Sometimes prayer is as much about listening to the still small voice of the Lord and His sweet Holy Spirit as it is talking to Him. And listen to what David said. I will wait for you, O Lord. You will answer, O Lord my God. So He speaks to us as well as us speaking to Him. Lastly, because we have not if we ask not. Remember what I read to you or quoted to you from the book of James? We have not because we ask not. That means all of our failures are prayer failures. The reason we made this mistake, this error, we sinned here, is because we have not because we ask not. I want a victory over my sin. Well, when are you going to start praying like you really mean it about it? All our failures are prayer failures. For if in all our ways we sought God, He would direct our paths. He promised to. If we sought Him first, all these things would be added to us. He promised it. If we delight ourselves in the Lord, the Bible says He will give us the desires of our heart. If we're delighting in Him, we have the right heart desires and He can easily grant them. So if you want your life to be different, if you want that peace that comes from doing God's will and not just feel like you're spinning your wheels, same thing over and over, what is my life worth? If you want to know the joy of doing something that you've omitted and the peace of making your life not worthless or how would you say, not futile If you desire to see the hopes and dreams for your spiritual life and the communion with God that you desire become a reality, then do this one thing. Continue seeking the face of Jesus earnestly, sincerely, wholeheartedly in prayer. And lastly, this. Ask your heart what is most important to you. Let's just do that right now. Go ahead and close your eyes with me and ask your heart what is more important to you. Is it some other person? Say, heart, what is important to me? Isn't it Jesus? Isn't it a closer walk with God? What is it that you really need from God? Maybe you're pressing an issue. Maybe you're facing circumstances. Let God hear it from you. He already knows it. And so what do you need God to do in your life and in your heart this year? Ask your heart, what do I need God to do in my life? And God, what do I need to see you do in the lives of my loved ones? He'll answer you. He'll show you what's in your heart. Let's close by asking God wants what He wants you to be and do for Him this year. Let these things be ever before you in prayer and thanksgiving and praises to God, singing to Him, having joy in Him. Believe that He is able to do exceedingly abundant above all you ask or think. His Word promises that to you. It says, He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. It's when Moses saw the Red Sea part. A lot of people don't realize the rest of the verse says, and the children of Israel walked on dry ground. Not only was He able to open the sea, but even dried up the ground for them. That's exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. When you're working, talk to Him about what's on your heart. At the end of your day, let your mind settle on Him and go to sleep in His arms. Take every little thought to Him and thinking about you. Heavenly Father, as we close now, we cannot do these things out of our flesh. As Paul said, for I know that in my flesh, my old nature, there's nothing good. In my flesh dwells nothing good. Lord, it's not by our power, it's not by our wisdom, but it's by yours. It's by your Holy Spirit. It's by your grace that you give us the desire to pray, that you draw us out in prayer, that you teach us to pray. Lord, you said that we ought always to pray and not to lose heart. So this is a special gift that you can give us, Lord, is a hunger and thirst for you in prayer, a hunger and thirst to know you better, and a desire, an unction, a compulsion by your sweet Holy Spirit in us to pray and to mean business with you, to be honest with you, Lord. And we pray that you would give us a heart that is ever seeking you. As Victor read in the psalm this morning, that we seek you as a thirsty man is seeking water, as a hungry man is seeking food. As David said, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. Create in us this desire so that at the end of our days or at the end of our nights or the end of our lives, we can look back and say, I thank God. Like Paul said, I've finished the course. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Lord, we pray you bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We have to close now as we can see the clock better now, I guess. We're at the end of our service. So we're going to take an offering right now, Brother Philip, while you're up here.